And out.
Amen. Let's give another hand of praise for Rachel and her love. If you're here, it's not by accident. God has something for you. Those that are listening, it's not by accident. I want them to understand, I want everyone to understand that nothing is by accident. God ultimately controls everything. And the sad thing about it is we have a free will. How many of us realize that we have a free will? And that's a mystery. The will of man and women is a mystery. And one of the things that separates us from God is really our will. We have to understand how to break the will. And I want those that are listening, that are all in different nations, to open up their hearts, open up their minds, begin to connect on what is being said. You don't want to miss anything. You don't want to miss not a word that is being said. How many of us realize that word is power? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. What you think in your heart, so you are, right? One of the things that we have to do is we have to come to a place. I've been speaking about entering into a place recently. And it's called, it could be called many terms, because today's world, there's all kinds of definitions to one word. We can call it the inner world. We can call it eternal life. We can just call it life. We can call it the kingdom of God. Depends on where you're at, what geographical location you're at. I want to call it the kingdom of God today, because that's what I'm familiar with. And God is known as the universe, our creator, our heavenly father. How many people are following me with this? So they're just words, really, depending on where you're from. Well, those that are listening, I want us to understand that God is our creator, our heavenly father, our supreme being, our life, and he wants to dwell within us. He does dwell within us, but he doesn't dwell within us. I'm going to say some things that might make you a little confused. Like, there is no God. How many people realize that there is no God? But there is a God. See, you could be someone who just doesn't believe in God. And if you don't believe in God, then is there one? If you don't believe it, then there isn't one. It doesn't exist. How many of you are following me here? I need you to follow me, because I've been pondering about this place called the kingdom of God. This place does exist. It's a spiritual place, just like God does exist. He does exist. If some of you know my testimony, you'll understand why I'm up here talking. Those that don't know my testimony, you might think I have some kind of agenda. What's he trying to do? What's he trying to do, a career or something like that? My life is not into a career. My life is in being and walking in my life. My life is to give you the keys, to give you the knowledge, to give you the understanding of how to be set free and how to live a life with peace and joy and blessed with an inheritance that God has given us, but you haven't been able to claim it. And why you haven't been able to claim it is because you're separated from God. Just because you confess God and you might have a religion or a sect that you were born in and a tradition that you follow doesn't necessarily mean that you have God. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're in his kingdom, you're in his place, you're in this dwelling place where he's at. It doesn't necessarily mean that. Now, some might get offended. I've had people devoted in their beliefs and everything else, but their life is in shambles. There's no salvation. There's no help. Prayers are hitting lead ceilings. Maybe every once in a while you'll get a little blessing here and there because you actually were able to break through humility, through brokenness. But then we rise back up and we separate ourselves from God. I want us to come to a place and be able to dwell in that place. I want us to be able to have a life on earth, and not only have a life on earth, but have a free pass for eternal life. Because eternity is real. And then there's also another place that, you know, we really don't want to talk about. I'm not here to put fear in a heart. I'm here to bring salvation to a heart, to open up our minds and have a knowledge to be set free. One of the things that is destroying us is this will. You know, Rachel spoke a message through offering about receiving and causing troubled waters. And who are you? Are you a child of God or not a child of God? Now, this place called the kingdom of God, I want to bring us to, but then I started to realize, how am I going to be able to bring somebody to a place that is like God? The only thing that you can bank on is what I tell you. And if you believe what I say, then, you know, you begin your relationship. You start your journey. And that's why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody can come to the Father except through me. What he was trying to say is, I got the knowledge to have you come to God. I have the knowledge to come to eternal life. I have the knowledge. It's not the person itself, but the knowledge that he had, the revelational knowledge that he had. It was about 15 years ago, my life was abducted. That's the only way that I can say it. My life was abducted, and it took me out of my, whether in the body, out of the body, I don't know, but I went into a heavenly place, and I was there for 3 earthly days. In those 3 earthly days, I had meetings with all types of heavenly encounters, and I also met Jesus. And I had a long discussion with Jesus. And the last words that he spoke was, go back down and tell them about my Father. Go back down and tell them. And those words I heard in an audible voice. Other words was more of a telepathic kind of understanding where I knew what he was saying, but it wasn't actually hearing. And for the longest time, I couldn't even bring what I said in words. When it first happened, I thought I went into an insane state, not realizing if I lost my mind or not. And you would have been feeling the same way if you went through what I did. But then I realized I got a truth. I got a call. I got an understanding. I got a revelation of life. And this needs to be given out. This needs to be given out to others. How many know that we're living in an exciting time right now in our age? I mean, just look around. I mean, if we can see how exciting it is, we're living in exciting times. And, you know, there's a message where I truly believe God is going to come and invade, and he's going to touch his people in a certain way, and we need to be prepared. But I want to talk about our sufferings right now. I want to talk about, why are we tormented? Why are we troubled? Why are things so hard and difficult? And why are these struggles in our lives? Why are we fighting? Why are things not happening the way we want? And why is there just death all around us? How many understand where I'm coming from? Why are we not happy? Why are we not full of joy? Why are we feeling in a desperate state? Why is our heart heavy? Why is it when we reach a certain age that things begin to seem to change? Wish I could have been a kid all my life, you know? No responsibilities. Now I got responsibilities. It seems like it's harder. Now I got, you know, to depend on living, and now it's so hard. And these pressures and sufferings all come through gateways and windows, spiritually speaking. And I was pondering and speaking to some of the other pastors, and I said, you know, God is a spirit. And in order to understand who God is, we have to have a spiritual mind, or we can't understand God. The kingdom is a spirit. It's a place in spirit, but it's real. It's alive. It's true. And in order to know the kingdom, you have to understand spirit. The mind is what separates us from God. The mind of reasoning and worry, all these things separate us from God. Our problems rest within ourselves. These problems are created, and they're stolen. There are forces of evil, darkness. And you might not believe this. You might not understand this. But they are there. They exist, just like God exists. And if we want to believe in God and understand His goodness and His love, we also have to understand robbery, how things are out there to destroy us, how things there are there to suffer. Life is inside. And that life has to start first in order for you to walk into it. For example, how many of us have a dream or a vision? Okay, you wanted to be something. You desire to live somewhere. You are looking for somebody to marry. It starts inside. And then what happens? You follow through. You begin to look for that, work for that, earn an education towards that. You begin to walk in your life, but it comes first inside. And an eternal life, we're looking for an eternal life. How many want to die and make sure that we have a good life after death? I hope people truly believe that there is life after death. There are people out there that feel as though that you're just going to sleep forever and ever and ever, or be reincarnated and come back as something else or what have you. I'm sorry. It isn't the truth. The truth is you're going to pass over to another place. Now, what was shown to me, and I want you to just open up your heart, that there are dimensions. Earth could be the first dimension, right straight out of heaven. What was shown to me was there was a war in heaven. These are mysteries that are ancient and they're secrets, and God gave them to me. And there was a war in heaven. And there was a tremendous amount of blood that was shed. And in that shedding of blood, we were basically forgiven. We were redeemed. But in that, we were put in a holding cell, not realizing time, that because time does not exist, so we were just basically there. And in that, we were sent down to be tested, to see if we're worthy enough. Listen closely. It was your birth date. It was ordained by God for you to come on this earth at an appointed time. And it was your birth date. And that birth date brought you, and that was the beginning to be tried and tested to see if you're worthy enough for one thing, surrendering your life over to the Creator, to surrendering your life completely in His hands, to know that you're devoted and committed and loyal, not in a form of rebellion, but fully committed and devoted in His hands. Nothing else matters. Doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter how big your homes are. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. The only thing is if you can lay your life down into the Creator's hands, into our God, our Father's hands, and that we can be brought back to Him into an eternal life. And that life, believe me, doesn't stop. I always say this earth is like a mirror image of heaven, but just dirty, just cloudy, just smoggy. The colors aren't as bright, and just everything just seems depressed and milky. But there's a mirror, heaven. So if there's a place that is like earth, it is, it's like heaven. And there's going to be other places to move on. Would you like to move on out of poverty? Would you like to have a life after death that is going to be better off than what you're living now? How many would want that? That's what I want. And the only way that I'm going to get it is through rewards. My reward is right now. I'm doing what the Father wills me to do, so I'm getting my rewards. I'm not doing this for you or myself. I'm doing it for my reward in a heavenly place. And those are laws written on our heart, and I'll explain that later on down the road as we keep following this ministry. It's important that you follow this ministry. It's important. You can't try to get a knowledge over here and a knowledge over there and a knowledge over here because you're going to be tossed to and fro from every wind of doctrine. I have the keys. I have the knowledge. I have the revelation to bring us to a place, and that place will set you free. How many here, just in their own life, applied what was being spoken, changed the way they're thinking, and actually is living a better life? Just those that are here today. And I'm sure there are hundreds and how many thousands over the internet that have lives have changed based on the knowledge that has been given. For one, we have to put ourselves in a place of trust. We need to surrender and begin to believe that we're not alone. Sometimes when we put ourselves in that place of being alone, depression comes in. Sadness enters our heart. Seems like, oh, woe is me. Why do I have it so hard? Listen, we all have it hard. How many people agree that we have it hard? Now, there are times where God will begin to make things easier for you because all of a sudden you reach that point where it's like just too much. God will never give you more than you can handle. We have to reflect back to what we're supposed to be doing. Trusting in God. When I see people suffer, and I see people being destroyed, I see people frustrated, upset, worrying, so full of fear, I look at it and I say to themselves, they don't know God. They might confess that they know God, but they don't know God. They know the pillow God, or they know the traditions of religion God. This place is not religious in the sense of religious traditions. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual place. We have to change the way we're thinking. We have to renew our minds. We have to begin to start casting down imaginations. If we do not change the way we're thinking, then your life will not change. You have to look at your cup as half full rather than half empty. The positive thought, there's power. Now, I'm not one of these people that are like positive thinking and all this other stuff is gonna. You have to have it in your heart. You can have everything up here, but if your heart is not at a place, then you are not living in a place. Your heart has to be established, and if your heart is troubled and upset and unhappy, then we have to find out why. And then when we get to the root of the answers, we have to apply truth. I don't care if the truth is negative. The truth is the truth, and the truth sets us free. When we are living in a denial and we are living in a lie because we have not been able to come to the truth, you're never going to be free. You're never going to be free. The fact is this. There are times where I've had somebody that was so tormented about money in a sense of never having it enough or never being able to make ends meet, and they were actually being robbed. And I'm thinking to myself, what are you talking about? You got money in the bank, you're able to pay for this. What are you talking about? And it realized they were living a lie. Somehow, somewhere, they kept telling themselves that they were broke. Somewhere, somehow, they kept saying that they were broke, and then they were denying the fact that they were broke. When they needed to say to themselves, yes, I'm broke. I'm broke, but I'm only broke because I'm going to get a better job. I'm going to start working. I'm going to start doing this. I want to start doing that. I want us to begin to understand that there is power that's within us. There are times, I don't want to offend anyone, because I see a lot of things. I see a lot of things. But there are past that we can't tend to let go. There are certain situations that happened in our lives that we can't let go. We have to learn to let go of yesterday. If we don't let go of yesterday, what's going to happen is we're going to have mistrust. We're going to judge the future. We're never going to believe. And we're going to end up living a life that is going to just destroy our future. We have to let go. The struggles, the arguments, they're all in our head. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. If your heart is upset and you feel depressed, you're carrying a disposition. Did you ever sit next to somebody and they had a hard day, something bothered them, maybe they got bad news, and all of a sudden their accountants changed? And you look at them and you're like, what's wrong? And they say, nothing. Nothing. And you're like, come on, no, really, what's wrong? And they don't say anything. Nothing. I'm fine. When you know that there is nothing, you know that there is something wrong. Well, that other person around you, let's say someone saw it. Let's say another person is around you and sees something. And they see that. And another person sees it. And they know. Does anybody want to be around you? There's something wrong with this person. I don't want to be around this person. There's something wrong. What I'm saying is we put off an atmosphere, a realm. And if we are living in, look, the Bible's clear about it. They call it the world. If we live in the world and the cares of the world, then it's only going to bring death to us. We have to cast these imaginations down. We have to get rid of and get out of the world. We have to renew our minds. We have to change the way we're thinking. Stop being so negative. Why do we put walls up against progress? We want to move forward. We want to move forward in our lives. Why do we say no? Things have to be done, and we need to be cleaned up. How many realize that we need to be cleaned up? You know, the religion says you're in sin and you need to be white as snow. You're right now dirty and you're not clean. Well, forget about what religion says. Let's talk about just being dirty. We're not in sin. We're just dirty. What makes us dirty? What do you think really makes us dirty? The way we think.
Negative thoughts.
Depression. You know, like, let's say you lost your job. Let's say you lost something. Right away, because we lost something, we get depressed. We get in an area like, oh, it's no good. Oh, it's no good. All of a sudden, we start telling ourselves it's no good. When in reality, that loss could be turned around and be really good. How many have lost something? And how many of us cried over it? And how many of us cried over it so much that we still are crying over it? Why? Why? Because of imaginations. Listen, these imaginations are coming into our head. And these imaginations are telling us things that don't exist. And because these things, we're beginning to believe them. God doesn't want this happening in our lives. And when we begin to believe these things, when we begin to believe these imaginations, I'm going to tell you right now, all these imaginations, if you're not putting your mind in the Spirit, if you're not putting your mind on good things, on God, where it'll turn all things around for the good, you know, these truthful sayings, but you have to believe them, then what happens is these imaginations literally destroy your life. They literally rob you. How many of us had some negative thoughts? And we entertain them. We begin to entertain all these negative thoughts. And when we entertain these negative thoughts, then we begin to believe them. Well, they have legal rights to destroy your life. They have literally legal rights to destroy your life. If there is an advancement that needs to go on, why do we stop it? If there's a positive thing that is happening, why do we allow these negative things come in and separate us from the truth? God wants your life to prosper. That's all God desires for us to do, is to come in to be prosperous. We've all made mistakes. How many of us made mistakes? I made a lot of them in my life. There's times where I look and say, man, that's a big mistake. And that one is really big. And there are some mistakes that I'm still living with that I say to myself, my God, I wish I could go back in time, rewind time, and change what took place so that I didn't make that mistake. Why are we dwelling over it? This is the problem that allows darkness to come in and rob us. We dwell on these patterns. We dwell on these thoughts. What really we should do is start being grateful for those things. Oh, that's hard. That's like literally impossible. Amen? How many people can actually be grateful for the mistakes that they made? But this is one of the truths that we have to come to. This is one of the things that we have to come to grips with. Because really nothing is a mistake. There are leadings and guidances and trainings and teachings, and there are good things. And if we can pass the test, we move on. If we can't pass the test, guess what? We repeat it. And we keep repeating it over and over and over. See, torment is a repetitive thing. And to have to make a mistake in your life and then to repeat it over and over and over, Doesn't it seem like you're in a pit and you can't get out? Well, this is darkness's way of putting you in hell. This is darkness's way of putting you in hell. This is what, like, hell is. If anybody wanted a description of hell, I'm going to tell you what hell is. It's like repeating over and over all this negative stuff and all your so-called failures or what have you. Repetitive over and over and over and over. I remember my wife, she had a vision of hell. And she was terrified of it. And she told me, she says, oh my God, I was living my life over and over and over and over. And I just kept seeing these negative, hard things over and over. And I just couldn't get out of it. Well, I truly believe in my heart, if you don't renew your mind and settle your troubled heart, that troubled heart is going to pass over to your next life. And you're going to be living and repeating over and over all the things that you're worrying about, all the things that you're afraid of. You know why? You make them your God. And you're worshiping those things now. And God is going to put you in that place where you are worshiping, what you're bowing down to. Do you think God likes worry? You know, worry is a form of fear. How many people understand that worry is a form of fear? Okay. And if worry is a form of fear, do you know that God despises fear? And the reason why God despises fear is because you're not trusting Him. You're not trusting in Him. You're not putting Him as God. You're not putting Him as your creator, your supreme being. Because He's love. And that perfect love is supposed to cast out fear. It's supposed to get rid of fear. It's supposed to destroy fear. And when you're over here entertaining fear, entertaining worry, allowing these negative thoughts to come into your mind and you're entertaining them, you're bowing down and you're actually worshiping them. You're worshiping these. Now listen, I'm not saying that I don't have concerns. I have lots of concerns. How many people have concerns? Okay, look, you want something done and you're waiting on it. You put a lot of work into it and you're just waiting. That's a concern. Comes up in your mind, I wonder how things are making out. You have every right to be concerned. That's being sensitive to the Spirit, so to say. But this is what is bad. When you begin to allow your concerns to turn into worry. When you begin to start getting upset. When your heart begins to get troubled. When you begin to start focusing on negative things, like they might not like it or they may not come or something. I'll never be able to, you know, whatever. When you reach that point, that's bad. Don't ever let yourself reach to a place of being troubled. And then you say to yourself, well, how do I get out of it? I can't stop these thoughts. I can't. Yes, you can. Again, you're lying to yourself. Yes, you can. We have to toughen up. We have to lift ourselves up. Stop dwelling on these lies. We dwell on so many lies. How many people realize that we dwell on lies? These thoughts, these lies keep coming in when you don't know tomorrow. You don't know the miraculous miracles that God can do in your life. I used to tell people, I say, listen, when they say they don't really believe in God or God really doesn't do anything in their life, I agree with them. I said, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. Because you're not giving Him something to do something in your life. If you're going to bow down and worry all the time, you're going to bow down and worship fear and worry all the time. Do you think God wants to intervene and come in? You already picked your God. You already chose to God what God you're going to serve this day when you begin to keep putting yourself in that position. Now, God, when I spoke about our will is probably one of the toughest things to deal with. We have to break the will. How many people understand breaking a will? You have to break the will. If you don't break the will, your life isn't going to change. It seems like our will... Here's the words that Jesus said. Not my will, Father, but your will be done. How many people have heard that verse before in Scripture? Not my will, Father, but your will be done. What do you think he was trying to say? He's going through all this torment. He's going through all this persecution. He's going through all this suffering. And he's going, woe's me. He's allowing the imaginations to come in when he began to realize that he has no control. Now, God puts something in your heart. That's his will. When God puts something in your heart, that's his will. And so we have to come to a place of being spiritually minded. So be it. A spiritual mind will say, so be it. How many people understand what I'm saying? If you have a person, let's say your life, you want a better life. You're tired of being alone. You're tired of coming up short. Seems like no one is ever treating you with respect. Nobody's really honoring you. Seems like you're a doormat. And it's a shame because your feelings get hurt all the time. It's because we're dwelling on it. Got to let it go. The facts are, yes, you got the short stick. But maybe tomorrow you won't. Maybe tomorrow things will be different. But if we keep dwelling on it, and our heart's bitter and hard towards it, and we're angry, things aren't going to change. We have to count everything as joy. We have to begin to start saying, Lord, you know my heart, and you know the desires of my heart. What's happening is our spirit, our will is being broken, and our spirit is coming to a broken, contrite heart. And God loves a broken, contrite heart. We have a strong will, and that strong will is separating us from the love of God. God is like, I want to give you the desires of your heart. I know what you want. I know what you desire. But you're angry at what is going on. You're angry and upset. I'm directing you, but you don't understand. And the things that I'm doing is far beyond what you can comprehend or imagine. And you're allowing these imaginations to come in. And you're listening to them. You're believing them. And so they become your God. You're worshiping them. And I don't want you to worship them. I want you to worship me. I want you to worship me. And how you worship me is, trust me. Believe me. Know that I want the best interest for you. Know that I want everything that you want because I planted those seeds. I planted those desires inside of you. We have to choose today, who are we going to serve? You know, there's a verse that says that, you know, you confess with your lips who I am, but your heart is so far from me. We have to come to a place of surrendering, giving our life. It's not an altar call where we say, okay, I surrender, God. You know, I accept Jesus Christ into my heart. You know, let me become born again. You know, that's all lip service. God wants to see fruit. He wants to see that if you really, truly love him, don't say it with your lips. Say it with your heart. And how you say it with your heart is when you begin to trust him. When you count everything away, you throw it all away. Everything that you know, you throw it away. And you begin to say, look, Lord, I'm done. I'm done. I can't go back and change yesterday. But I can change tomorrow. You know my heart. This is what I say to Him all the time. Lord, You know the struggles that I deal with. Temptation is always knocking at my door. Thoughts are always trying to come into my mind. I'm always trying to cast down those spirits that make you feel like you're the only one and you're all alone and nobody understands. How many of us ever had imaginations that they're talking about you? It happens all the time. But we have to realize, are we going to serve God? Are we going to make a commitment in our heart today to serve Him and Him only? And cry out with a broken, contrite heart and begin to become spiritually minded and not so carnally minded, because carnally minded is death. Carnally minded is this. We begin to believe all the imaginations. We begin to believe all the arguments and things that come into our minds. How many people understand what I'm saying as far as these arguments, these thoughts, this mind control nonsense that I call it? We already painted a picture of tomorrow. We're already painting a picture of negativity. And these are legal contracts in the heavenlies. Look, if anyone knew the message of Job, and, you know, Satan comes to God and says, you know, let me get your servant Job, and he's a righteous man. He did all the good things, you know. He's righteous. Let me get him. And he's like, okay, get him, but don't kill him. How many people know that story of Job? I love that story. Because at the very end, what was the real root of Job's issue? He just didn't know who God was. He didn't realize He was the Creator. Yet Job, he reasoned and did everything under his own intellectual understanding and everything else. And Job came to a place because God said, where were you when the stars were put in the heavens and putting a ring around Leviathan's nose? And he was like, look, you know, to be honest with you, and I'm going to tell you, these are like the words that God spoke to Job without being written in Scripture. God's like, I really don't care about your carnal life, Job. I care about your spiritual life. I don't really care about how great you are on this earth. I care about how you're storing your treasures in heaven. I care about where you're going to be when you leave this earth body. I love you and I want you to be up here with me. And so the things that you care about, I don't care. I want you to start caring about the things I care about. Do you love me? Are you willing to lay your life down and follow me? Are you willing to count everything that you know and throw it away and just be like on the river and let the wind just blow you wherever I choose to blow you? Are you willing to lay your cares down and let me take your life? If I choose to move you over here, are you going to resist it? If I choose to bring this person in your life, despite what you see carnally, the inside is a lot beautiful, but you're looking too natural. You're not you have to be physically attracted to that person first. How many have heard that lie? I'll tell you what, I'd rather marry a real ugly, huge, whatever, thing that goes against what I think is beautiful, if that is pure and beauty inside that is going to treat me. You see, if we reason with our minds, I believe we missed a lot of things in life because we were too carnally minded. We couldn't see deep. Now, I believe God wants to change these things. I believe God wants to give you far beyond what you can comprehend or even imagine. And when I hear that, I'm like, wow, I can't even think. Because if God wants to bless you and give you beyond what you can comprehend, that means that we can't even see it and we can't even figure it out. I believe the best thing we need to do is throw all of our imaginations away. Everything that we think we desire, everything that we think that we are attracted to, and throw it away. Throw it away. And begin to allow peace and joy and comfort come into our heart, because, you know, we are people that judge. And we have a lot of judgment in our lives that we think this is right and this is wrong and this is good and this is bad. But I want to tell you right now, who do you know and what do you know that's good and bad in your life? Only God knows what's good and what's bad. If things don't happen the way you want them to happen, I'm going to tell you right now, start rejoicing. Start being grateful, because what you probably wanted and what you were going for, what have you, may not have been good for you. Allow life to unfold. Don't control life. Let it unfold. Surrender. When you surrender, you're literally surrendering to circumstances. You're surrendering to reason. Reason will destroy you. If you're invited to a party and you don't feel like going, you know, you have a choice to make right there. If the invitation came and you're in that place of surrendering, I always say this, in the very beginning of trying to find a life, you are dead. And so you have to understand that you're dead. But if you give your life to God, He wants to resurrect you. So if He's going to resurrect you, then you put all your trust in Him. That means that you have to cast out all reason. Now, when an opportunity comes, don't reason. Just take the open door and walk through the open door. How many of us get into that place where we don't feel like doing anything? I don't want to do nothing. I don't want to do nothing. I don't want to do nothing. We're dead. Until that life is established in God, until we are done running around chasing our tail, when you come to that place of rest, you're mature enough to know, no, I'm not walking through that door. Or yes, I am walking through that door. But right now, we're not mature enough to know. I don't care how long you think you knew God. I don't care how long you think that you've been, you know, right standings. And I don't care how blessed you are. You can look at blessings in a whole different way. I look at blessings and I judge myself according to how I feel inside. If I have a peace and I have a comfort and I have a joy and I have righteousness where I don't feel guilty or ashamed about anything, then I'm going to tell you right now, I'm in right standings with my God. But if I'm lacking righteousness and I feel ashamed or guilty about things that I may have done, or, you know, whatever it might be, and I can't look somebody in the eye, or I can't just approach somebody, or I feel ashamed some way, Or if I don't have joy and I don't have peace and I'm not comforted, God does not exist in my life. I don't care what I say and what I do. I don't care what religion I follow. I don't care what I try to tell myself. God does not exist in my life. And if we are out there today and we have those feelings of not happy, not full of joy, not having righteousness, not being comforted, and we're afraid and we're worried and we're troubled and, you know, we're a mess, a hot mess, we need to listen to this message. We need to hear about my God. I used to say this a lot. My God. My God's different than your God. My God gives comfort. My God gives joy. My God gives, you know, love. My God gives a fulfillment. And if you don't have any of that, then you don't have my God. You don't have the Creator. You don't have the true living God. You're lost. You're deceived. You're worshiping something else. You're off on some kind of tangent. You're bound by a tradition or a religion. You confess with your mouth, but your heart's so far from Him. We have to be honest with ourselves. Have we been worshiping the wrong God? There are many gods out there. That's what Jesus says. Aren't there many gods? There are many gods out there. Many. I want the true living God. And the only way that I can discern that God, the only way that I can know that I have that true living God with me is when I'm comforted. When I'm not worrying. Now, don't get confused with concerns. I'm talking about the worry and the fear where your heart is troubled. Now, when your heart is troubled, we go pray, right? Amen? How many of us have a problem or a deep concern and we go to God and pray? How many of us keep praying the same prayer over and over and over and over and over? What's wrong? What's wrong? There's a wrong. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. I go to the throne room. I know my God. I know my God. God, my heart's troubled. I'm taking this to you. I'm confessing. I'm making my request known to you. Have it. Not my will, but your will be done. That relationship begins and it draws the true living God. It brings the true living God in our lives. The last thing I would want to see any of us, those out there, the last thing I would want to see is to live our life in deception, thinking that we're looking for God, thinking that we're praying to God, thinking that we're walking in righteousness, thinking that we're doing the right things in the eyes of God so that we can lead to eternity and be fooled. How would you like to know that what you've been doing all this time, you were deceived? I would tell you right now, that would make the hair on the back of my neck stand up. You mean I've been wrong? Well, let's gauge it. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. Let's gauge it. Let's see for ourselves. Are you happy? Do you have joy? Are you at the point where you can't control your worry? And your heart is troubled and you lose sleep at night? Are you cursing yourself? Do you look in the mirror and are you happy what you see? Or are you grateful? Do you have gratefulness in your heart even through troubled waters? Let's just gauge ourselves. I won't judge. Let's look at the truth and let the truth judge us. Can we stand? Well, Jim, you know, you don't understand, Pastor. We live in this world. Come out of it. Come out of the world. The Lord says, Jesus says, I may be in the world, but I'm not of the world. You know why he was saying that? Because he wasn't letting trouble. He wasn't worshiping the wrong God. He had comfort. He had righteousness. He had truth. He had love. He had joy and peace. Despite what was happening, he had it. You can have it too. It's by changing the way you're thinking. Stop being so angry. You're angry. You're angry. And you have to ask yourself why. You have to get to the roots and find out why. Jealousy is a root of anger. Got to stop being jealous. You got to stop being envy. Stop looking at everybody else and judge. Let's look at our own life. Let's come out of the world and let's come into the kingdom. When you come into the kingdom, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't have to fight anymore. Everything that you desire comes to you. Everything that you want, God makes a way where no man can make a way. You want love? You want love on this earth? Listen, I know the carnal self needs love. Companionship. Friends. Loyalty. Honor. I know we all need it. And God wants to give us that. He's not asking you to be a doormat. He's not asking you to, you know, lay your life down and let people trot all over it and treat you like garbage. When those things come about, I always say, walk away from those that steal your joy and your peace. Run from them. You know, we cause our own problems because we tend to pick up the phone and keep talking to them and keep entertaining them when we should have just gotten rid of them a long time ago. I ran out of time. I got my meter up there saying, Jim, enough. It's one of my issues. I have a major issue. Because I care about your soul. My heart cries when I see people suffer. It destroys me. I feel your pain. When I look into the eyes of someone who is suffering, their soul is hurting. I feel that hurt. And I don't want to feel the pain anymore. I don't want to have to look in the eyes of someone who I love and see pain. See somebody hurt. We can beat this. We can take it and overcome. I want our heads bowed for a moment. There's a peace I've come to know. God's love is certain. And there's no doubt whatsoever in his love. We need to begin to believe that he loves us. The spiritual mind needs to embrace the love of God, that he cares for us, and that we have a future. It doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter how young we are. God cares about the details in your life. He cares about you. And so, Father, those that are here and those that are listening, I ask that you send your Spirit and begin to embrace them with a hug. Begin to embrace them and let them begin to see that you only have power to open up our eyes and begin to change the way we think. You know our troubles, and you know our sufferings. Help us to be overcomers. Help us so that we're not alone. Help us. Glorify us so that we can glorify you. Allow us to walk with joy and peace. Grant us this blessing today. I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Because of time, I normally open up the altars to minister, but I believe God touched us where we're at. And so I'm not going to pray or minister today, but I will say, you know, come back next week. You'll never know what the Lord will do in that place. Amen? Amen. In the midst, keep us in prayer. Keep the ministry in prayer. Always continue to pray. Never stop praying for one another. We always need prayer. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. Remember, Wednesday evenings, we have service here at 7:30. It's a roundtable discussion. You can catch us on the internet. The website is glorytothenations.org. You can also download messages there. You can catch up, and you can also donate and push PayPal there if you want to support. A lot of people, you know, are out and about, and they still are faithful and they support. So I want to thank those that are listening, that we are live. I want to thank those that do support when they're out there and not just here. And I want to continue to encourage you to support. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord one more hand of praise. Amen.